One of my first jobs when I started in the works was quite interesting. They were building loads of new post office coaches because it was not so long after the great train robbery. And all the ones they had then was just old wooden carriages, not very secure. But the ones when I first started in the works that we were building, oh, I mean, it was like fortresses. They really were armoured cars, you know. They had like a voice recorder, which people used to set off, you know, for mischief. And it was like a really loud voice, and they had to get people in to come and turn it off from the post office, because once it's set off, you couldn't turn them off. And it was, help, help, I am being robbed, help, I am being robbed. And this was broadcast, you know, all over the workshop, you could hear it.
It was a heck of a place for practical jokes, wasn't it?
We used to make, like, cardboard spurs and cover them in tinfoil, and blokes would be working in pit, and when anyone would walk by, they'd just reach out and stick it on backs of people's shoes, or they'd make cardboard arrows and stick it on someone's back, you know. And they'd be walking around with this arrow stuck on their back. They wouldn't know anything about it till someone told them, or they took their overalls off, you know.
It was the essence, the lifeblood of York, along with chocolate. Carriage building was absolutely fundamental to this city, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, yeah, I mean, it was a major part of the city. I mean, York is one of the major cities in the country. It was for train building. I think it was from the 1800s.
And you went there in the late 60s. So in the late 60s, who was running the carriage works?
It was part of British Railways. Then we did go over to, later on, to British Rail Engineering, which was like part of British Railways. But I think what it was, everyone had to be accountable for their own little part of the railways. So, you know, we had to all make money. Then it went off to ABB, which was a Swedish firm, and then it seemed to go downhill from there. That was, you know, I think when the Tories was actually in power then, and they seemed to be winding it down as if they didn't want train building in this country. They were quite prepared to buy, you know, get them built in Portugal or Sweden and buy them in. But we was always competitive. You know, people always said, oh, yeah, going back to the pranks, we did the pranks, you know, the sticking spurs on people's feet, but we always got the work out. We always got our orders at one time. We were competitive, and it was good quality work.
And this was sort of in the days when many things were nationalised. The water was nationalised, the phones, just about everything was of any significance was nationalised. And then Mrs Thatcher arrived.
I think that was like one of the final nails in the coffin. I think the Conservatives didn't seem to want this country to produce anything. They were quite prepared to buy it in from abroad. They probably thought it was cheaper, but I don't think the quality was as good. You know, I've seen coaches, what I've, you know, worked on coaches that have been built abroad, and you get gaps in panelling and bits missing, and it doesn't look as, the quality wasn't as good.
British workmanship at the time did come in for quite a lot of criticism, but you're saying so far as the carriage works was concerned, that wasn't justified.
People always make a joke, oh, yeah, carriage works, you start at 7:30, well, you clock on at 7:30, you won't start till gone 8 o'clock, you'd knock off at maybe 9 o'clock for going hang around the coffee machine. We was doing like 3 coaches a week, building 3 a week. The repairs, they used to get a line full of coaches out nearly every other day, back into service, and it was always done, you know. Although we'd never be standing about talking and drinking tea, we got the work done. Or you'd maybe have 2 blokes watching 1 bloke work, but they'd still get the work done.
You speak very fondly of those days. How do you feel about the fact that that industry no longer exists in York?
Oh, it's very sad. I mean, when you drive down Poppleton Road now, or if you're coming in into York from the north on the train, and you look across from Lehman Road, or you look, or driving on Poppleton Road, and you look across, you see all them buildings there. I say to Rita, look, there's the carriage works there. All they've all stood empty. Well, no, they're not stood empty. I think they're used for other things, but they could be used for building, you know, good quality rolling stock for this country. Instead of buying them in from abroad, there would be young lads who'd come along, learn the skills, and they could still be building rolling stock in this city.
The reason that you and I are speaking now is because you phoned the programme the other day when I said, Mrs Thatcher, do you think she was a force for good or bad in this country or indeed in your life? Just remind me what you said.
Margaret Thatcher wasn't actually in charge when the carriage works closed. I think I was building it in 93, the works shut in 95. I think she finished in office in 1990. John Major took over then, but she started, she was Prime Minister from 1979. That's when we started to see, seem to go downhill. People have said to me, well, it wasn't all it was her government, but she was the one that was in charge. I think they just seem to want to run the industry down, the rail industry down. I mean, I think in this country now, I think there's Bombardier at Derby who are still building rolling stock. Siemens, I think, well, I think they're German, so they'll probably build abroad. No, I think the Tories just didn't seem to want any rail industry, any industry. I think they just wanted, you know, bankers or whatever.
What do you think it's done to change the atmosphere of York, to change the atmosphere of the city?
When I left the Carriage Works, I went to Tesco. That's the only type of work there was, shop work. I mean, I've got mates working at Asda. I've got quite a few lads who are driving taxis. At Tesco, there was maybe about a dozen of us, all ex-Carriage Works, different trades, all skilled men, all apprentice-trained men who'd done the apprenticeships, you know, all these skilled men all working at Tesco and Asda or driving taxis, you know, and it's sad, really, because it's the type of work what skilled men shouldn't be doing. You know, other people should be doing that. They should be building rolling stock, really.
Margaret Thatcher's funeral's about to take place. Looking back at her and her legacy, how do you feel?
When it was announced, I can't remember what day it was, last week, was it Tuesday or Wednesday when she died? He's in Glasgow having street parties and dancing on the newspaper, pictures of her, all these, you know, records that are coming out celebrating her death. At the end of the day, she's somebody's mother, and they've lost the mother. I don't like her. I didn't like her then, and I wouldn't say I like her now, but I won't go as far as celebrating her death. To me, that's disrespectful. You know, it is somebody's mother.
Having said you wouldn't go as far as that and you think that's disrespectful, though, your feeling about her and how she changed Britain?
I think she changed Britain. I think the miners, the steel industry, and then, say, the railway industry, to a lesser extent than the other two, but she definitely changed Britain. I think she split Britain, probably split families. Probably some families, you know, think she was wonderful. Other parts of the family think she was terrible. I mean, I personally, I think she ruined manufacturing industry of this country.